We've been studying God's plan to help grow the church. And as we've looked at that, we've gone through several things. We want to really conclude this series of lessons today with step number 5, which is never give up, never surrender. Of course, there are many things necessary for the church to grow, but one essential component is perseverance, persistence, constance. You have to keep going. And that phrase, never give up, never surrender, there was a movie a few years ago about a comedy about a spaceship that their crew never gave up and never surrendered. And that was their motto. That's a good motto for us as Christians as well. We've got to realize the devil doesn't take prisoners as such. If we get captured by the devil, we're not going to be transferred back over. You know, in war, a lot of times, as people get captured by the enemy, they're held as prisoners of war, and then under many circumstances, at the end of the war, those prisoners are released back to their country. Well, the devil doesn't work that way. He's not going to abide by these nice little rules that we've made up. He is going to play for keeps. He's either going to destroy you, or if he captures you, he's going to keep you. He doesn't want to give you back. So we've got to realize that the idea of, we'll just surrender and be taken prisoner and taken captive. No, we can't consider that a possibility in our war with Satan. He wants to destroy the church any way he can. And one of his best ways is by taking Christians captive so that they can't be fighting for God any longer. Another way, of course, is by using discouragement to get them to give up. And so we must never give up and never surrender. James 5, 10 and 11 that was read a little bit ago points out the prophets as an example of that. The prophets, most of the time, were few. On some occasions it seemed there were only two or three that were willing to speak out. Sometimes it seemed only one. Jeremiah seemed like he was the only man in Israel who was willing to speak up for God sometimes. Even his scribe that worked with him, who wrote a lot of the things for him, and messages and things, even he had to force him to do those things some of the time. He didn't want to do it. He was afraid of what would happen if he wrote those things down that Jeremiah was receiving from the Lord. So we've got to realize how rare that was for those men and how much of a struggle they had. But they didn't give up. And James points to them and he says, you notice this, there are an example of suffering and of affliction and of being patient through that, making it through. And then he says, behold, we count him happy which endure. We can give up anytime. That's the easy thing to do. But if we want to be happy, we're going to have to endure. We're going to have to persevere to the end. The ladybug. Isn't that nice? Landed on. We've had the Olympics the last couple of weeks here. And I guess today is supposed to be the final day. They're supposed to finish it up. And it's been an amazing set of events, as it always is. And you've got countries from all over the world that come and compete in this. And there are races of different kinds and games of different kinds, sporting events. And you know, they ski and they sled and they play all sorts of games, some of which I've never even heard of before. And they play these things and they compete at these things. Not all of them win medals. But I can tell you this. All of the ones who have won medals have one thing in common. They didn't give up They didn't quit. They finished whatever the event they were doing. They finished it. You can't win the medal at the Olympics if you don't finish. Doesn't matter if you were the fastest one through the first half. If you don't make it through the second half, you lose. So we've got to realize just how important it is to finish the course. Paul spoke of that. He said, I have finished my course. I've run the race. I've finished it. And we've got to finish. We can't give up. We can't surrender. I want us to notice four examples from the Scriptures this morning so that they can be an encouragement to us. Of course, James mentioned the prophets, which always are an example, their faithfulness, their willingness to suffer, to do what God wanted them to do. But I want us to look at four other individuals. The first is Blind Bart. Now, Blind Bart is in Mark chapter 10, in verses 46 through 52. And if you want to turn over there and look at that, in verse 46, Jesus was going down the road. His disciples were with him. There was a large crowd. It seemed at certain points there in his ministry, there was always a crowd of people with him. Once they knew about it, they would follow him everywhere. And so here he was. And along the side of the road, there was a man begging. His name was Bartimaeus. In other words, he was the son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. But we'll just call him Blind Bart, because Bart's a much more common name for us today. But Blind Bart had a custom, apparently, of sitting by the road begging. And when he realized that this was Jesus going by, and he knew who Jesus was, he may have been blind, but he wasn't deaf. He had heard about Jesus, and he knew what Jesus could do. He had probably heard some stories about other people who had blindness or deaf or couldn't speak or were lame or demon, and he heard those stories that Jesus had healed them. So when he heard that Jesus was the one that was coming, he began to cry out, verse 47 tells us. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, the crowd, of course, was upset by this. You know, you're causing a disturbance. So many of them told him to be quiet. Some of them probably not very kindly. They probably said all sorts of mean things to him to try to get him to just be quiet and keep his mouth shut and not bother Jesus, because he was just an old blind guy. Jesus isn't going to care about you anyway. He's got all these other people around him that are more important than you. You're just a beggar. So they tried to shut him up. But notice the second part of verse 48. He cried the more, a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. When somebody tries to shut you up, when somebody tries to get you to just leave well enough alone and not stir anything up and not do anything that's going to cause any trouble, how do you react? Most of the time, I don't want to cause trouble, don't want to cause a scene. Bart's a good example for us. He knew that he needed Jesus, and he was going to make sure that he did everything in his power to get to Jesus. He wasn't going to be quiet. He wasn't going to be shut up and sat down and pushed out of the way. He was going to try to get to Jesus. He was persistent. He persevered. And it paid off for him. Jesus finally heard him and called for him. And then, oh, how the people, oh, hey, be a good, he's calling for you. All of a sudden, all these folks that a while ago were telling him to be quiet, now they're probably wanting to huddle around him to be his friend, because he's fixing to go through the crowd to be right next to Jesus. See, all these people that were out on the outer edges of the crowd next to him, now they thought, well, here, let's go with him. We're going to get up there close to Jesus too. He was going to get to be with Jesus because he didn't give up that easily. And Jesus, of course, when he got to him, said, "What do you want me to do?" Now we might think, well, that's kind of a silly question. Here's a blind guy. What do you think he wants you to do? Well, but he said, I want to be able to see. I want you to heal me so I can see, receive my sight. And Jesus said, okay, no problem. There you go. You got it. But I want us to remember Bart. When we speak out the truth about something and somebody tries to tell us, well, you can't talk about that. You need to be quiet. You need to not speak up. You need to mind your own business. Don't bother, the old saying, we don't speak about religion and politics. So, we don't want to talk about religion. Don't bring that up. We need to be sure that we're not cowed by that. That we don't just give in and give up. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. The second that we want to notice is the willful widow. Now the willful widow is spoken of in Luke chapter 18 in verses 1 through 5. Now the willful widow may or may not have been any real person. Basically, this is just a parable that Jesus told. Now he may have based it on a real woman that he may have known. But here he tells this story about this willful widow. He spoke this parable to them to teach them that they should always pray and not to faint. He said there was a city, and in that city there was a judge. And that judge didn't fear God or man. He was an unjust judge. He didn't care about the law. He didn't care about God and what was right and wrong. He probably was like some of these judges in some places who are just looking to get a bribe to go one way or another. And whoever will give them the biggest bribe, that's who's going to win the case. And this is the kind of judge that Jesus describes here. But there was a widow in that city. No indication that she was wealthy. But for whatever reason, she had this grievance. She had an adversary, and she came to the judge about this problem. Don't know what this person had done to her, but she had been cheated in some way. She had been mistreated. And she wanted justice. Isn't that what we want when we've been mistreated? We want that person to have to face up to what they've done. We want them to have to face justice. She came to him. And he rejected her. He wouldn't listen. But after a while, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't regard man, because this widow troubles me, I'm going to avenge her. I'm going to give her her justice that she's asking for. Lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. Have you ever had somebody who just bugged you until you gave them what they wanted? I know children work on that principle a lot. If I bug mama and daddy long enough, they'll give me what I want. Now, in the case of parents and children, both the parent and the child lose if the child gets what they want in most of those situations. But in this case, God is trying to teach us a lesson. Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson that we shouldn't give up. And he says if that unjust judge is going to do that for that woman just because he doesn't want her to bug him, not because he cared about what was right or cared about what was good for her or anything else, but just to keep her from bugging him, she was just going to wear him out if he didn't give her what she wanted. He says, God's going to give you His children that He loves and cares about. He's going to give you what's good for you. But don't give up praying Don't give up asking. Don't quit. We need to be persistent like this widow. We need to have a strong will. And we have to be careful with our strong will. Some people can be strong-willed and stiff-necked against God. We don't want to be like that. But when we know something is right, and we know something is good, and we know God wants us to do something, then we need to have a will of iron. One that's unbreakable. Regardless of what trials and tribulations we may face. Here's the thing about this woman. You know, a lot of us start good things. We start to do something. But after a few times, a few tries at it, we give up. We say, well, you know, how many of you had New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year? Everybody always sets them. And then, well, by the end of January, they're gone. Forget about it. And we're here at the end of February. How many people still keeping those New Year's resolutions now, 2 months in? We got one out of, you know, 55 or 60. One. Most of us, we do something and we just give up too easy. We quit. There is the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But I think our motto is much more like, I think it was the Kathy comic strip. She said, when the going gets tough, I go shopping. And I think that's the way most of us tend to do. When it gets tough, we just look for an easy way out. We look for somewhere else to go or something else to do that'll come easier. We need to not give up like that. We've got to be strong. This woman, you know how irritating it is? Imagine, you know, if you've ever had a situation with dealing with a bill or with a bank or with a business that wouldn't treat you right. What do you do? You call them and say, hey, I want y'all to do, oh, well, you know, we can't do anything about that. You know, it's too late. You know, the warranty's over or the time's up or you should have called a month ago or whatever. And sometimes that's it. We say, well, can't do anything about that. We would have probably this judge one time and said, judge, this person mistreated me. I wish he'd, do something about it. He'd say, go home. Leave me alone. I'm not going to do anything about that. And we'd go on home. And we'd gripe to our friends and neighbors about it and say bad, mean things about that judge, but we'd never go back to try to do anything else about it. This woman didn't give up. She kept going back time after time after time. And we've got to learn from her lesson. The third example that we want to notice is the midnight visitor. This is in Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 8. Jesus again trying to teach us this lesson that we can't give up, that we've got to be persistent. Verse 5, he says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, first of all, most of us wouldn't go to our friend at midnight. It'd have to be pretty dire circumstances. We'd say, well, you know, I'll wait till morning. I don't want to bug him at midnight. I don't want to cause any trouble with my friend or my neighbor or whatever. I'm not going to go at that time of night. Unless it was an emergency, we probably wouldn't go. But he says, which of you go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Boy. So you go to your neighbor's house and say, you know, I've got company and my company needs something to eat. Can you give me some food to feed my company? Ooh. Well, what's he going to say? Well, it's midnight. What do you think he's going to say? What would you say if somebody comes knocking at your door at midnight? He's going to say, the door's shut. I got my door locked. You know, it's bedtime. I got my children are in the bed. I can't get up and get that to you now. Come back in the morning, right? That's what we'd say. Come back in the morning. Yeah, I get you something at breakfast. Well, Jesus says, even though he won't rise and give it to him because of being his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his coming and being courageous enough, I guess you could say, to come and persistent enough to want to come in the middle of the night about this, because of that, he'll get up and give it to him. You know, if somebody rings your doorbell in the middle of the night, your first reaction is probably, well, I'm going to go back to sleep. But if they ring it that second time, what are they doing up there this time of night? And then when they just ring, 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 I got to go see who this is. Get them out of here. They're bugging me. And that's the way this fellow was. He came at midnight. Everybody already in bed. Trying to sleep. Got to get up early in the morning. You're going to come bug me now. But Jesus is teaching us the lesson. He's not teaching us about the guy who gets up and gives his friend the stuff. He's teaching us to be like the guy who came to the door. When something is important enough, we do it, even if it's considered rude. In this case, you know, coming to somebody's house at midnight to borrow something from them is kind of rude, you would say. But Jesus says, if it's important, you do it anyway. We need to realize that when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to obedience to God, the time of day shouldn't matter. Jesus teaches us, you know, if we realize that our brother has something against us, we should go to him. Should we wait till next week? No, we need to go to him. If we realize that we need to obey the gospel till next Sunday, no. Don't we see the Philippian jailer baptized in the middle of the night? Right then. We don't put off those things. We take care of it. But we don't give up until we get what we want. And hopefully in this case, what we want is to get to heaven. We don't give up. We don't quit. We don't surrender. The fourth is the most faithful of all. Well, who is the most faithful of all? That's God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, God teaches us to be like Him. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8 also, God had promised the children of Israel these things, that He wasn't going to fail them. He wasn't going to forsake them. We have God's promise. He's not leaving. Now, if we want to leave, we want to forsake Him, that's our business. That's our choice. But He's not leaving. And He's giving us that example. And He's saying, I'm not leaving. You be like me. Don't you leave either. Don't forsake me. Don't quit on me. Don't give up on me. But sometimes we give up on God. He's taking too long. Things aren't going good. I got problems in my life. If God's really there, how come these things are happening to me? Why won't He fix it all for me? That's the wrong attitude. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. We can't forsake Him either. Never give up. Never surrender. Instead, we need to keep going and growing. Be steadfast and strong. Keep fighting the fight, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Maybe nobody else will notice the struggles that you're having to go through. Maybe nobody knows how hard it was for you to be here this morning. Maybe nobody knows what a temptation it is for you not to be back tonight. But you can win those battles if you choose to. God didn't forsake you. He didn't leave you helpless and friendless. How can we do the same to Him then? How could we leave Him? If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't have a friend in God. You're His enemy. You need to become a Christian so that He can be your friend. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you perhaps haven't been strong and steadfast, you've wanted to give up, you wanted to surrender because the battle was too tough, don't do it. The church cannot grow if everybody in the army is going AWOL. Fight to work together as a unit so there are no holes in our line where the enemy can get through. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.